always my favorite. People be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. It looks like you booked a room with one bed. Is that going to be okay? Hello and welcome to Under Our Roof. My name is Grace.
And I'm Lizzie.
And this is our podcast about living a simple gay old life at home. We're so happy to have you with us. We are recording this on Friday evening. Yet again, this has now become our routine to just spend time with you after a week has fully left us fried. We were just about to go down a rabbit hole of the pop singer slash guitarist Orianti.
I had never heard of this person until tonight, and Grace says that I apparently
hit song according to you, and according to Lizzie, we had to stop that going down that rabbit hole because we had to record. So here we are, and I'm very happy to be checking in with y'all, and I'm really excited about the episode that we have for today.
Yeah, so we last week did a little episode kind of about being in quarantine, you know, in different stages for a year and things that have brought us joy during that time.
But things now, that we've ditched too.
Things that we just let go of.
Mm-hmm. We really roasted some whipped coffee in the last episode.
I liked whipped coffee. But anyway,
Disney Plus.
If you haven't listened to that last episode and you're interested in a little like morale boost for hopefully these last few weeks or months of this, you know, intense lockdowns, then go back and listen. But today we're talking about looking forward.
The future.
So as we all can probably relate to, travel has been one of the joys that has been taken from all of us during this really difficult year. I don't know about you, but for both Grace and I, travel has been one of our favorite parts of life, you know, even before we met, but also especially during our relationship. And so today we wanted to talk about the travel bug, where we are dying to go once it's safe to, where we have gone in the past. We both, I will say, have been so lucky to travel a lot, I mean, relatively speaking. So we wanted to share some favorite trips that we've taken together and apart.
Maybe share a new dream location for you, or perhaps talk about someplace where you're from. That we love to visit.
Yeah, if when we talk about these places, if anyone is from or has spent time in any of them, I'd love to hear about it because I have a super long travel bucket list.
This is a dreaming episode. We are sort of starting to recognize that there is a light at the end of this quarantine tunnel. Even though we don't know exactly the specifics of that, we're starting to get hopeful and we're starting to dream about what we would do if we had a little bit more freedom to travel. So that's what we're going to be getting into in this episode. Hopefully it leaves you curious and excited about what is to come in your own life and perhaps travel plans and destinations that lie ahead in the future for you. But before we do that, we would like to read a review.
We have been meaning to read some reviews on our podcast recently, so we've gotten some really sweet ones that mean a lot. We read every single one. I usually read them out loud to Grace when they come in. So if you haven't given us a rating and review, we would love it if you did.
Oh, sorry. I cut you off.
No, it's okay. I was just going to say that helps us grow and helps keep us, you know, on the Apple radar with podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah. That was exactly what I was going to say. Okay. It's just that we are, you know, we're an independent podcast and we love doing this show for y'all. And the best thing that you can do to help us out is rating and reviewing the show and just passing along the show to a friend.
Yeah, so we wanted to read this review today from Nina.
Hi, Nina.
It says, I first saw Grace and Lizzie on TikTok, and as a queer kid who grew up in the church and has since left it, I felt nervous to engage in religious content, albeit queer. Mm-hmm. After challenging myself, you're like, yeah, no, tell me, Nina.
I was like, I feel you.
After challenging myself to listen to Grace's EP Without Judgment, I fell down the rabbit hole of all their creative projects, including State of Grace and now this podcast. I can confidently say everything these two do is amazing. That's so nice.
Thank you.
This podcast specifically is such a wholesome space, and I love learning about Grace and Lizzie and imagining my own simple queer home life too. I constantly find myself thinking, I wish I could be part of this conversation, or I wish I was friends with them and could go over for dinner. Thank you to the Baldridges for sharing so many of themselves. Sorry.
So many. All the
this review is written well. I am not speaking it well. Thank you to the Baldridges for sharing so much of themselves and helping soften my queer little heart.
Well, thanks, Nina.
Thank you.
I also want to give a special shout out to a few people I've seen recently who have done something that we talked about on the podcast and have then tagged us in it on Instagram. I'm thinking specifically, I saw someone tag me in a chamomile lavender bedtime tea, milk tea routine. And I know that we talked about that on the last episode. And it's just really cool to see if y'all try out anything that we are saying is helpful for us. You know, you can always tell us too if you try it and you're like, honestly, this was not relaxing. I know that I saw someone try Lizzie's hot cold shower thing.
Yeah, I saw a few people doing that and everybody seems to like it so far. Although I also heard from someone that was like, I cannot do that, which I completely understand.
Exactly. This is all, it's a community space. We love hearing from you. So thank you so much for writing in, tagging us and stuff, rating, reviewing, and subscribing. It's all very helpful.
Yeah.
So let's kick this out of our house. This is no longer under our roof. For the rest of this episode, I feel like Miss Frizzle in the Magic School Bus. For the rest of this episode, we'll be hitting the road. That's not what Miss Frizzle sounded like, is it?
No.
At all. She was a character in this television show called The Magic School Bus. I don't know if...
Everybody knows The Magic School Bus. I loved the Magic
School Bus.
Well, anyway,
she was a real person who had a magic school.
She was a cartoon character.
She was an actual human. She just broke the sound barrier and the speed of sound with her magic school bus that she was able to shrink and enlarge for her students to go on magical field trips.
I think it was like a time machine.
Too. Yeah. She's in prison now for a lot of violations.
Okay, we need to stay on track.
We need to stop recording Friday night.
I know, it's the only time we've been able to. I want to cut to the feeling. I want to play where you play with the angels. I want to wake up with you all in tangles.
We are going to be taking you on a
magical journey.
Yeah, magical journey around places we've gone to and places we dream about going. So let's put on our imagination hats, kids.
What are you doing?
And let's start talking about where we want to go.
Well, do you want to start with favorite places that we have traveled in the past, maybe to give people inspo if they haven't been there?
Yes.
Or do you want to talk about our dream destinations?
I think we should end on our dream destinations.
That makes sense to me.
And then we should begin with describing our favorite places that we've been.
You go first. What's your favorite place you've ever been?
That is really hard to say.
I know.
Obviously, Belgium is very close to my heart.
That's kind of different, though. I think you should definitely talk about Belgium and like growing up in Europe, because that's part of why I wanted to do this episode, is because you, just by virtue of like where you grew up, were able to travel so much. Mm-hmm. But Belgium isn't really like travel.
Well, I'm just saying that whenever I've landed in Belgium from somewhere else, especially when I moved to the US, anytime I've landed in Belgium and I'm walking through that airport, I feel like I'm on drugs because I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Like my stomach is just so happy to be back. Not like, I mean, obviously I'm happy to eat. I love Belgian food, but I mean, I get butterflies and I'm like so excited just to be there. So that's the first location that comes to mind is like, oh my gosh, I can't wait. And I did grow up there, so I guess it's a little bit different. The other place that I was excited to talk about is New Orleans.
Oh my gosh. That's like my favorite US city, I think. Okay, let's just skip all around because I feel like we're both going to remind each other of really good places. But I would say in terms of U.S. travel, continental U.S. travel, New Orleans is probably my favorite place I've been in the continental U.S. We spent a week there at the end of 2018, like shortly after we got married. And we were there for some of our good friends' wedding, who Grace was officiating their wedding. And that was just one of the most special weeks of my life, honestly. It was the perfect vacation. It was over New Year's Eve. It was so different from anywhere I'd ever been, which is to me one of the best parts of travel, is just going somewhere. It's like meeting a new person. There's nowhere else like, you know, each place that you go. And for me, New Orleans was the closest to going to like Europe or a different country that I've ever gotten in the continental US.
New Orleans has so much character.
Oh my gosh.
Amazing food. I just think it's one of those places that you could wander around for weeks and you would just always find something new, even if you were wandering down the same street. I really appreciated that about the city. I love the history. I love the tradition of ghost stories.
Yeah, we went on a ghost tour, which I would highly recommend. I have a blog post all about our week in New Orleans where I say what ghost tour company we used and where we ate and all of that stuff. So I can link that in the show notes.
It was just so much silly fun. And I was just so interested in getting to know the city. You know, like it was one of those places where I really felt like I could just wander around forever and find something new and talk to people. And it's also very queer friendly.
Very, yeah.
Which is something that you'll probably find a running theme in the different places that we're describing. Places where I've felt unwelcome will likely not pop up on this list. I have to bring up Trinidad, California, which is not really that far from where we live. It's just a road trip away, but a really incredible, tiny little fishing town, would you say?
Yeah, it's...
in Northern California?
It's about 10 hours north drive of LA, so it's kind of far. But if you stop halfway, it's very doable as a road trip. And we went there this past November for Grace's 30th birthday, and it is probably the most beautiful spot I've been to on the West Coast, I would say. I mean, I don't know. There's no point in saying like the best, the most beautiful, because everywhere is beautiful in its own right.
Beautiful, yeah.
But I mean, Trinidad, and yes, that is the name, not like the Caribbean island. It's just called Trinidad, but it's a little town in California. It's like you feel like you've stepped into like Big Little Lies vibes.
I was going to say, I mean this as a compliment. The entire time that I was there, I felt like I was in a murder mystery.
Yes, like a quintessential cozy murder mystery novel would be set there.
Yeah.
Okay, I know we're jumping around a bunch, but I started by asking you what's your favorite place you've ever been. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very hard for me to answer that question myself, but I would probably have to say Hawaii. Ooh. For me, which... I mean, Hawaii is just such an incredibly special and beautiful place. Speaking of like most beautiful, which again, there's no point in making superlatives of Earth because it's all just so incredibly beautiful and wild.
We love you, Earth.
We love
shout
Earth.
Out, shout out to Earth.
Shout out Mother Earth. Yeah. She is a babe.
Shout out Mother Earth.
But for real. Yeah. But I do
but
think
for real, shout out
Hawaii is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. I've been lucky enough to visit more than once, but most recently for our honeymoon, we went to Maui and Kauai. We spent a week on each. Where do I even begin with Hawaii? The natural beauty, the warmth of the people there, the food. Oh my God, the food.
I think also what struck me in Hawaii is the sense of time is so different than at least in our lives here in Los Angeles.
Say more.
What I mean by that is that I was able to just access peace and stillness in a way that is really, really difficult to do for me, generally speaking. That's not even just like on vacation or in the real world, you know, when I'm working. Just generally, my brain is always kind of like clicking. It is hard for me to find stillness outside of like forcing myself down for naps, which I'm actually pretty good at doing. But just generally finding time to read books for leisure, like, you know, that's really hard for me to do. It's really hard for me to focus. We can go to, you know, Malibu and go to the beach here for a day, and I won't really be able to check out in the way that I was able to access in Hawaii. And I think that that's because there is this like sense of peace and a difference in the pace of life that I really appreciated.
Yeah, Hawaii is also one of those super tropical vacation postcard places that also happens to be very queer friendly, which sadly, those two things don't always mix. Like, I'm kind of wary of a lot of places in the Caribbean for that reason, because a lot of like Caribbean islands still have laws against being gay. The older I get, the less I'm okay with kind of like having a weird vibe at check-in, like, oh, are you sisters? Like, I don't want to deal with that, so I probably won't go anywhere like that.
Oh my gosh. At this point, I think that, like, as far as I've come as a person I don't even know what I would do if someone was like, are you two sisters? As far as like presentation and I think our dynamic, it's pretty obvious. Even if we're in an airport, it's not really about PDA. It's just about like intimacy that mm-hmm. you can sense between two people. Mm-hmm. So when on the rare occasion it's come up, like at a diner with like a well-meaning waiter or waitress who will like ask about our relation, mm-hmm. I just always think it's a little strange because I'm like, come on, like the only reason why you're asking is because you think that it's not that.
I know, I feel like that's usually people's way of being like, are you a couple? But it's awkward to say actually more awkward to be like, are you sisters?
It's way better to just be like, are you dating?
That's a tangent.
Okay, but sorry.
No. I think it's good to say that. Because that comes up in travel. It comes up in travel.
People will be like, this is my favorite. People will be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. It looks like you booked a room with one bed. Is that going to be okay?
Well, speaking of that, that brings me to the next place I was going to mention. So we love Hawaii. Cannot wait to go back. We've also been to Alaska and absolutely loved it. But that did have more of, we definitely got the like, oh, you only have one bed in your hotel room. And we're like, mm-hmm.
This was the interesting thing I felt about Alaska, though, that I've told people, is that Alaska, and we drove the Alaska Highway, so it's pretty wild and pretty remote.
Alaska, let me just say, is one of my favorite trips we've ever taken, if not my favorite trip we've ever taken, by the way.
Yeah, it was so, so fun. And when people have asked about that trip and, you know, what our encounters were like along the way, and yeah, the way of life was really different, but what I found was that typically when we would make our relationship clear, like if someone asked mm-hmm. if we were sisters, like, oh no, we're together or something like that, people that you might not have expected were very welcoming and accommodating.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It was basically like they didn't assume that we were together because I'm not really sure. Honestly, I would think that there'd be lots of lesbians in Alaska.
There probably are.
I don't know. It just kind of seems like the general vibe would be agreeable, but I'm not really sure. But as soon as we made our relationship clear, we were not met with any animosity.
No, Alaska was so lovely and very, very welcoming and just a very cool place. I've never been anywhere like that. We spent quite a bit of time in Canada, like really rural Canada and mm-hmm. Alaska a few years ago. And it was so special. I did not get any hostility, but I also felt like the only gay people for, you know, miles, which was fine.
But I remember sort of sensing, and I remember this specifically when we were helped at this really cool gas station. I can't remember where it was. It was like somewhere in the Yukon. We were at this gas station and one of our like engine lights had turned on and we were both trying not to freak out.
Oh, I remember that.
And we got to this gas station with just this sort of assortment of characters. And I'm sure that we were absolutely like LA characters to them as well. And then as soon as they'd sort of like pieced it together that we were a couple, I could tell that they were like, huh, okay. But it was very much like, you do you. Like, that's a story I'm going to tell someone later, but this was a really pleasant encounter. Solid dogs up north too, as far as like dogs that Willie got to meet on the Alaska Highway.
Yeah, we did it. We went with our bigger dog Willie back when he was a lot younger and could walk.
Oh, so many friends.
Yeah.
He really had a blast. There were so many just cool dogs. Like, I could imagine it almost like a Disney movie playing out. They were so much cooler than him. He was such a city slicker. Just trying to fit in with these, like, really savvy, smart, like, pack dogs that were just out in the wild. And Willie would just it was so funny. Like, they would all kind of gang up on him a little bit.
Yeah, Willie would, like, let all of the Alaska and Canadian, like, rural Canadian dogs just hump him.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say that, but if you're just going to air him out, then...
Yeah, he would just kind of let them. He was like, I get it.
He was like, I get it. I need to be sort of jumped into the pack. And then he, you know, he kind of was.
Yeah.
And then, no,
should
really...
Should we keep this in?
I don't... I'm honestly not sure.
We'll decide later.
Well, I just mean that, like, after he was initiated into his dog group of friends, then it was all really cute. Obviously, the initiation part was a little tense, but Willie knew what he was doing.
He seemed fine with it, honestly.
Yeah, he did. He seemed fine with it. And dogs are different. They're a different species. The rules are different, obviously.
Obviously. I am dying to go to the Grand Canyon. Can't believe we've never been. Mm-hmm. We have been to Yosemite. Love it. highly recommend everyone go there if you get the chance. It's very easy to plan a trip there. It's not intimidating. I feel like sometimes with national parks, you're like, I have to go on a guided tour and do everything exactly right. But if you're lucky enough to be driving distance to anywhere, like we are for Yosemite, you can just go and just explore and not have a plan, not even have a map. And it's just so beautiful.
As far as the national park experience that we have, I think our secret, honestly, was just waking up way earlier than you think you need.
Getting there, like, as early as daylight, basically.
Yeah, and then checking out in the early afternoon. That was sort of the strategy that we did.
Speaking of national parks, I keep thinking of more destinations. I do want to touch on, like, places outside the U.S. also, but, well, this is outside the U.S. We went to Banff National Park in Canada, which is so beautiful. If you've ever seen the, like, turquoise, like unnaturally blue Canadian lakes with these mountains surrounding them, that is most likely Banff or Jasper, both of which we got to go to a few years ago.
I have an unpopular opinion about Banff, though.
What?
I really liked it. It was really pretty.
Oh, no.
It's a little crowded.
Yeah. But we went in the summer.
During a prime time.
Yeah. Like, we could definitely do it differently and better. But I just thought I've never seen... It was like I was in a cartoon of, like, what a blue mountain lake would look like. It's just one of the most beautiful places I've ever been, I would say, is Banff.
Yeah, it is really beautiful. I think that if I were to go back, though, I would take our strategy for the national parks and go really early before it gets too crowded.
Okay, what is your favorite place in Europe that you went to growing up, aside from Belgium?
I have really fond memories of the ski trips that we went on as a family.
Where were they?
We went to the French Alps and we went to the Swiss Alps and I wish I could provide more specifics of location. I mean, also believe we went to Austria for skiing once. And I really love those trips because I do a lot of thinking when I'm doing an activity like that, whether it's like a dog walk, but I would also find myself doing a lot of songwriting and thinking while I'd be skiing.
That's cool.
And I really liked that because it was time for me during the day, just some meditative time, even though I would be maybe skiing with my brother or skiing with my mom. So it felt like we were doing this community activity, but it still allowed me to just have some grace time.
I get that, yeah.
And I really enjoyed that. And I also had great conversations with my brother on the ski lifts.
Aww.
We had some really nice rides together.
Yeah.
So I really liked those ski trips. And where I grew up, we had like a week in February off that was for skiing. Did you have anything like that? Do you have a break in February in the U.S.?
No.
Oh, that sucks. Sorry.
I mean, did you have spring break too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the U.S. is like they just no breaks.
Like, they like don't like vacation
no
here.
Vacation.
They like really do not like vacation here.
Yeah, I know.
I want to do an episode about that.
First State of Grace?
No.
Oh, like for some reason I thought you meant... Oh, a podcast
I
want to
do a podcast episode about capitalism in the United States and why they hate vacation. I'm just kidding. That's not why you listen to this show. I understand, but you should look it up.
I did get to go skiing a few times growing up, though, but we would usually go... I never have been skiing in a different country. We only would go to... we went to, like, Deer Valley. Why am I forgetting? Oh, Telluride. Yeah, places like that. Very cool. I have obviously not spent as much time at all in Europe as you, because you've spent 18 years or something like that, or not that long,
not
like
that
15
long.
Years.
Yeah.
I have, of course, only visited Europe. I've never lived there like you did, but I have definitely a few great travel memories from Europe. And I feel like being from the US, that's kind of like a lot of people's first travel. If they're going, like, not to, I am generalizing, but for me, like, my first ever trip outside the U.S. was to go to France with my grandmother.
Did you go to Paris?
Yes.
Everybody loves Paris.
I know. Well, my grandmother has a tradition of taking all her grandkids on, like, a very special trip when we turned 10. And so mine was to go to Paris. And
that's
also,
so nice.
It was so fun. It was so, so special. It was my first time leaving the country, and going without my parents felt very, like, grown up, even though I was 10.
Was it your first time on an airplane?
No. Oh. I had my first time on an airplane, I think I was like 6 weeks old. And actually, it was to come out here to LA.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because I have always had a bunch of family in LA. So I've visited here my whole life. That's another story. I have been to Belgium with you a couple of times, been to the south of France with you. I revisited Paris in college with my best friend for spring break one year. After I took the bar exam, my gift from my parents for graduating law school was a trip, and some of my best friends from law school and I went on this like Mediterranean island hopping trip that was so fun. Looking back, I didn't even appreciate how special and cool it was at the time. I mean, I did, but hindsight, you're like, wow, that was amazing. We went to Barcelona, we went to Ibiza, we went to Sardinia, which was very cool. I had never even heard of it until like we started planning the trip, but I highly recommend Sardinia. It's a Italian island. And then we went to Santorini. And Santorini, I feel similarly to Santorini as what you were saying about Banff. Santorini is the most crowded place I think I have ever been travel-wise, and that does kind of turn me off to it, even though it's also one of the most beautiful and cool places I've ever been. The food was amazing. Everywhere I went, I ordered this like baked feta dish that was just bomb. It was so cool. We went on this like sailing trip from around different like Greek islands and the best trip, but Santorini, sadly, is not like super high on my list to go back just because it was so crowded and it's very hard to travel there on any kind of budget, any kind of limited budget, which I definitely had a limited budget at the time traveling, like, right, you know, after being a student and everything. Not that I have an unlimited budget now, but back then especially. And it was like hard to find good accommodations without a huge, huge spending, you know, goal. I love Santorini, but too crowded. But I don't like to yuck anyone else's yum. So if Santorini is like your favorite place you've ever been, then I understand why, because it's gorgeous.
I was just remembering that our senior trip, we went to Crete.
Oh, yeah.
And boy, what a shit show. Not Crete, our senior trip. Uh-huh. Crete was beautiful. I had a great time in Crete. I honestly would go back to Crete, maybe to that exact same resort that we were staying in. It was one of those all-inclusive resorts that would allow 17-year-olds, 17-year-olds to book it, 17 or 18-year-olds, and they let us in. It's probably not as glamorous as I remember it at the time, because it was one of those trips where I was like, we're like young and independent adults now. We can do what we want. We're in Crete, bitch. You can't kick us out. Like, that's literally, our class booked a flight to Crete. Like, we all got the same tickets. We're all on the flight. The pilot came, I would like to clarify, I wasn't the one doing this. I was just in the group, and I, you know, I was one of the group, but I wasn't one of the troublemakers in the group. I don't think I was a troublemaker, because I was not one of the reasons why the pilot came over the intercom and was he was like, we will land this plane. I can't remember where he said that we were going to land it, but he was like, if you do not stop being just 17-year-olds on a plane with alcohol, then we're going to land somewhere. And we all got in trouble with the pilot. That was embarrassing. And then we landed in Crete. We had a really wonderful time. I had a really wonderful time, but I know that the resort was probably thrilled to see us leave. But I don't think that me and my friends were, you know what, I just remembered something, and I don't think that I can spare myself from the chaos, to be honest. I think that there was.
I definitely did
love
not.
To Crete. Sorry love about to that. Crete. Love I to didn't Crete. Have My any... apologies to Crete.
I, in high school, we just like went to the Outer Banks, which was like the beach near us. But in college, I did get to go on a bunch of like student trips, which was really fun. I went to Turkey. I spent like a month traveling around Turkey, which was incredible. One of my more formative travel experiences, I would say, because that was like the farthest I'd ever been from home, like at the time, the longest travel days, I think, to get there. But Istanbul is similar to New Orleans, not in terms of how it is, but in terms of like just completely unlike anywhere else. Very much its own flavor and just so cool. Like, I absolutely love Turkey. I got to go on hot air balloon rides over the like Cappadocia mountains, which was so cool too. Just some of my favorite travel memories are from Turkey. And it's funny because I went on a trip where I didn't know a single person. It was like a mini study abroad that our college was offering about like the business economy of Turkey or something. Truly don't remember a single thing I learned, and I think that's fine. The point was just to travel, really, not to learn anything from a textbook. But technically, it was like a class. And I didn't know a single person. I just signed up to go. And looking back, that's kind of unlike me because I tend to be like a little more reserved if I don't know anybody. And I'm so glad I did it that way because I just made a lot of friends and got to like really immerse myself in the trip and not be distracted by like, I don't know what other people wanted to do. We went on another like mini study abroad that our college was offering to Africa, which was one of, I mean, I keep saying like one of the best. But really, I've never been on a trip like that. We spent a month that was like 3/4 of the time in Zambia. And then we spent a week in Botswana at the end going on a safari. And that I just consider myself so lucky to have gotten to do that because it's difficult to get there. Like going to Africa is no joke. Like the flights are expensive. It's a really long time to get there. I think we had like a 20-hour flight because we flew to South Africa and then went up to Zambia and Botswana from there. And it's just so far away. It's so very different from culture in the US or in Europe. It was like the most, I guess I would say, different place I've ever been in terms of like really, really not having a grasp on the language, really just being totally immersed in a new culture. And I'm so glad that I got to go. And I would love to go to other countries in Africa. I would love to go on safari again. And I don't know when I will, just because, again, it's like one of the most logistically complicated trips to plan. But wow, seeing Victoria Falls, seeing, you know, elephants and giraffes and just everything we did was so special. And I think about that trip all the time. And I consider myself especially lucky to have gotten to go with one of my best friends who still is very important to me.
So let's end the episode with let's each name two destinations that we've been dreaming about going.
Only two. No, we can say three.
Okay, fine. We can say three. I'm going to say two, but you can say three.
Okay, I'm curious if any of them line up. Probably not, to be honest.
So the first place that I really have wanted to go to for a while that I kind of catch myself like looking things up, just daydreaming about what it will be like, is I really want to go to Japan.
Okay, that it would be in my top three as well, actually.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I just feel so curious to learn more about Japanese culture and, like, visit Tokyo.
I feel like we've had a lot of good friends that have gone, and every single person has been like, this is my favorite trip I've ever taken. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to go to Japan. Actually, all of my cousins on my dad's side are Japanese, and I grew up like visiting them and sleeping on sleeping pallets and eating with chopsticks and everything because my dad's brother was married to a Japanese woman and their kids very much are Japanese, and they just like always made me want to go there because they would visit a lot, but somehow I never went or got to go.
It is kind of strange that you never got to go.
I mean, it was the other side of the family, you know what I mean? So I don't know why, but we never went, and I would definitely love to.
That would be the sort of trip that I would be so excited to plan, and I would start getting like my language books out because I have a basis for a lot of like Western European languages. Like I took a German class. Mm-hmm. I can kind of recognize certain words, and I'm familiar with like syntax and sentence structure even in like Spanish, and I do not speak Spanish at all, but if I like look at a pamphlet, I can like pick out certain words. Yeah. Because of like my French language, and I wouldn't have that at all with Japanese, and that really excites me. Like,
yeah,
just taking the time to learn about like etiquette and culture, it's just something that I really want to do.
That's how it was in Zambia and Botswana too. Just like going somewhere where it's not a Western culture at all. Mm-hmm. Is really, I think, important if you can get the opportunity to do it. And I mean, for those of us who are from a Western culture, everything is kind of centered around our way of life, our language, even in other countries, it's that way. So I think immersing yourself in other places and being respectful of the culture there is one of the most formative and beautiful travel experiences. I think because we both have been lucky enough to go a lot of places in Europe, that's relatively speaking. I have a lot of European bucket list things on my list too. But I think because of that, a lot of my list also centers around like places that are farther physically away that I haven't been. Japan, I would say, is in my top three. I really want to go to Bora Bora, which I know some people might like roll their eyes at or something. I don't know, maybe not, but enjoying like the snorkeling, the outdoor sports, the Mai Tais. I guess that's more Hawaiian, maybe not Mai Tais, but you know, fruity drinks. I definitely love all that stuff. And I would love to go to Bora Bora for that reason, because I love tropical places. And that's one of the like most iconic tropical places. And I've never been. So
I've never been anywhere in Scandinavia. And I've always wanted to go.
Me too.
Norway is at the top of my list, just because we have one of our close friends is from there. And it'd be nice to have someone to show us around. But also, you know, Sweden.
I would love to go to Sweden. I just in general, like Scandinavia. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
But Scandinavia.
One of my very best friends lives in Sweden right now.
I know. Yeah, Scandinavia is very high on my list too. And the other European place, I'm definitely going to say more than three. I'm sorry.
Okay.
The other European place that's high on my list is the Amalfi Coast, because I have been lucky enough to travel a bit in Italy. I mentioned Sardinia, which I did with my friends, but then I've also been on a family trip kind of like all around Italy. So that was really fun. But I've never, I don't think, been to the Amalfi Coast, unless one place that I went, I'm not sure if it technically was on the Amalfi Coast. But right, as of right now, we are planning to go next summer, which I'm really excited for. Summer 2022, we will be going to Italy. I will close with one last place, although I feel like I need to do more research, because I've kind of heard mixed things about, I don't know, just the propriety of going there, which is Bali. I've always wanted to go to Bali. Literally for like 10 years, I've wanted to go there. But then recently I've been hearing things that like tourism there might not be that ethical, but I don't know what to make of that, because I don't know, I don't like know what kind of source that information is coming from. But I guess one thing that's important to close with is that we are aware that tourism everywhere can be ethical, or it can be done in an exploitative way. And so I'm sure that my travel in the past has not always been perfect in that regard. I know that it hasn't. And so becoming more informed global citizens as we are lucky enough to continue traveling is a huge goal and very important to both of us.
I did not know that tourism could be unethical. I didn't know to examine those systems, especially like how tourism becomes entrenched into a culture, until honestly like 2 or 3 years ago. It had never occurred to me.
Yeah.
As something that I needed to reckon with and interrogate before I thought about traveling somewhere. So maybe take this as an invitation, if it's something you haven't thought of before, to consider that when you are planning your travel, because it's something that we talk about a lot and we have not known about this in the past. And I think it's important to always keep learning and educating yourself. We hope that this has inspired you to dream a little bit about where you would like to go and the places that you would like to see. And I'm going to wish for you something, because this is something I wish for myself. It's comforting for me, so I hope it's comforting for you as well. I wish for you to have a really beautiful view with a wonderful drink sometime in 2021, Ooh. Where you just get to look out somewhere. Maybe it's somewhere new. Maybe it's somewhere old, maybe it's somewhere familiar, but you have a beautiful view outstretching before you. You get to think about all the possibilities and all your hopes and dreams for the years ahead. And you have a nice drink that you can sip on, alcoholic, caffeine, whatever it may be, water, stay hydrated, milk, I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care.
I hope it's better than just a glass of milk.
A glass of oat milk? How dare you?
I didn't
you?
Say oat milk.
Okay.
Oat milk is different.
Fair point. Back to you. I wish for you to have a view, a beautiful view and a beautiful perspective. And that's it. That's all. That's what it's all about, I think, in my book.
Yeah, I like that sentiment. I think for us, at the end of the day, with travel, seeing a new view and having a new perspective, both literally and emotionally and spiritually and all of that, is kind of why we travel. So I wish that for all of our listeners as well.
All right. Well, hope you enjoyed this view. You cannot see us, which is probably all for the best.
You're my best view.
Oh, you're my best view. And you know what? House guest, you're my very best view. And that is not a dead meme. And on that note, we are going to say farewell and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.